Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Stormont Assembly has heard a call for a parallel and public OMA bombing inquiry in the Republic, which questions those believed to have been involved in planning and executing the 1998 attack. There were 7,699 people on the live register in Donegal in January. Derry City and Strabane District Council has agreed its budget for the incoming financial year and set a district rates increase for ratepayers of almost 5%. And draftnet salmon fishers on the Loch Rossmore estuary near Ardra hold a public meeting tonight to highlight the fact that their fishery once again is restricted for the fourth year in a row. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15, but we will begin with the Stormont Assembly this afternoon hearing a call for a parallel and public OMA bombing inquiry in the Republic, which questions those believed to have been involved in planning and executing the 1998 attack. West Tyrone MLA Tom Buchanan told the Assembly that while the Irish government is promising full cooperation, the reality is that those people south of the border who were involved in the attack are effectively being sheltered, and the truth of their involvement may never be known. The DUP MLA said people have been very moved by the testimonies given by the families at the Struil Arts Centre over the past 2 weeks, and he called on Taoiseach Micheál Martin and Tánaiste Simon Harris to do the right thing.
For over these years, the families have fought a courageous battle for truth and justice in what was one of the deadliest atrocities of the Troubles. However, the blatant refusal of the Dublin government to provide a structure for a parallel inquiry south of the border is totally appalling. These victims deserve truth, accountability and justice on both sides of the border. The Dublin government cannot ignore the fact that the OMA bomb was planned, prepared and transported to OMA from the Republic of Ireland, yet it appears they still want to provide a safe haven for those murderers. While the Taoiseach, Mr Martin and his sidekick Simon Harris seek to justify their decision by stating that the Irish government will ensure full cooperation with the inquiry, the fact remains that the UK inquiry has no authority to call witnesses from the Republic or compel them to give evidence, and this creates a genuine concern amongst families of victims that key evidence from the Republic may never be examined. So today in this House I call upon the Taoiseach and Mr Harris, for the sake of the OMA families, to have done with their hypocrisy and speaking from both sides of their mouth and do the honourable thing by bringing forward a structure for a parallel inquiry into the South rather than continuing to harbour and cover up for the perpetrators of this evil act.
And that was West Tyrone MLA Tom Buchanan speaking at the Assembly in Stormont this afternoon. Letterkenny University Hospital remains under so-called bed blocker pressure, officially known as delayed transfer of care patients. The term refers to people who cannot be discharged from hospital because of a lack of step-down care, such as local rehabilitation centres or home carers. The Irish Daily Mail reports that every day last month, Letterkenny and six other hospitals were over their DTOC threshold, while LUH had the third highest national average of DTOC patients for the month at 19. There were 7,699 people on the live register in Donegal in January. That's down 16% from 9,141 in January 2024. With more detail, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
All social welfare offices in Donegal saw fewer people signing on last month compared to the same time last year. Kelly Begg saw the largest decrease of 31% to the figure of 382. 841 names appeared on the register in Dunloe, 23% less than the 1,089 seen in January 2024. Next, Ballyshannon fell by 20% from 1,111 to 889. Meanwhile, Letterkenny and Buncrana both dropped 14% to 2,136 and 1,419 respectively. 13% fewer people signed on in the Dunfanaghy Social Welfare Office, with 514, down from 592. Finally, both Donegal and Ballybuffet recorded a 10% decline to 526 and 992.
And you can compare all those figures on our website, highlandradio.com. Derry City and Strabane District Council has today agreed its budget for the incoming financial year and set a district rates increase for ratepayers of 4.92%. Officials say this will see the average rates bill increase by 28 £8.96 per annum, or 56 pence per week. The regional rate set by central government will be determined by the end of March and will also have an impact on the overall rates bill. The budget was set at a special meeting today, with members agreeing to a 3.42% baseline increase covering the financial challenges and service demands facing the council, along with a 1.5% rates investment toward the financing of the council's capital strategy. Again, you can read far more detail and get a link to all those figures on our website, highlandradio.com. Draft net salmon fishers on the Lochras Moor estuary are holding a public meeting tonight at Cronalbwy National School, Lochras Point, Ardra, to highlight the fact that once again their fishery is restricted to just 3 weeks in July, while the national fishery is from May to July. They say the restriction, which began 4 years ago, is based on outdated quota figures which are no longer relevant. Spokesperson Conor White says the tight season puts skippers under pressure to find crew members for a very limited period. A consultation is currently underway under the auspices of Inland Fisheries Ireland, and Conor White is hoping that tonight's public meeting will help focus people's minds on fighting for equal treatment.
We're hoping that we can get back to the season that the rest of the country has, Donal, in terms of the national season from the 12th of May to the end of July. I suppose what we're trying to achieve is just parity with the rest of the country and not to be treated any differently.
Has Inland Fisheries Ireland given you any reason that you would consider credible to put in this restriction that only allows you to fish that river in July?
I suppose when the restriction was introduced in 2021 and in terms of the season being restricted since then, there was a smaller quota. That quota has grown since, so we believe that now there is a basis for a longer season.
You have had discussions with Inland Fisheries Ireland and with local political representatives as well. Has anything come from those discussions to make you think that there perhaps can be some sort of a resolution here?
Unfortunately, there hasn't been in the past, but with the new kind of evidence in terms of what has come to light in terms of the quota over the past year, we would be hopeful that there'd be a positive resolution.
And all are invited to the meeting taking place tonight?
Yeah, everyone is invited, and will be taking place at 7:30 tonight in the Cronalbwy National School in Lochras Point.
And that was Conor White of the Draftnet Salmon Fishers on the Lochras Moor estuary. Meanwhile, 100% Redress TD Charles Ward has this evening called on the Junior Marine Minister Timmy Dooley to take an interest in this and to address what he said is a very unfair restriction. The EU will always take the steps needed to protect its economic interests. That's the message coming from the European Commission this evening in the wake of an announcement from US President Donald Trump that he intends introducing tariffs on steel and aluminium imports. He's due to formally back the move today after commenting on the issue on Air Force One last night. European Commission spokesperson Olaf Gill says there is no justification for the imposition of tariffs.
We stand against unjustified barriers to free and fair trade. We remain fully committed to a level playing field. We will always take the necessary steps to protect our economic interests, as well as European businesses, workers and consumers from unjustified tariff measures.
There's a call for farmers to be trained to monitor the condition of electricity poles and report faults to the ESB. It comes in the aftermath of Storm Éowyn, which saw more than 700,000 people without power at one point, many of those as a result of trees falling on power lines. The ICMSA is suggesting farmers could maintain hedges and vegetation around electricity poles, as well as monitoring their condition. The president of the group, Dennis Drennan, says imaginative solutions need to be examined.
I think everybody realises it's very unrealistic to expect the ESB to be able to monitor the condition of all the poles, all the lines, and the vegetation growing up under them or around them from Mallon Head to Mizzen Head. Like, this is an unprecedented outage, and this is where I suppose our idea has come, that look, we, as farmers who are out in the fields every day and, you know, travelling up and down the boreens of Ireland every day, we don't have any definitive plan here. We're just saying that there's certain parts of the work that could be done by farmers on their own land, and a certain amount that will have to be done by tree surgeons. So, you know, it's a matter of, look, we, as I said, we don't have a perfect solution to this, but we think it's certainly worth exploring. Is there a better way than what's happening at the moment, that we let these trees and vegetation grow up and then we wait for a big, huge storm to come? And it's looking like these storms are going to be far more frequent. We're not tree surgeons, we're not electricians, but we have a certain amount of equipment that's suitable on farms. And, you know, if we can get to a stage that we've a solid issue of the dodgy poles that are rotten, the ash dieback trees that are overhanging lines, and then get into a maintenance phase where farmers are in conjunction with the ESB, are used to maintain the vegetation underneath power lines and around poles.
And that was Dennis Drennan of the ICMSA. This coming Friday marks the 60th anniversary of the closure of the Derry-Portadown rail line. It led to the closure of all the remaining rail stations in Donegal and Tyrone. The restoration of the line is one of the recommendations in the All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review, which was published last year, and Campaign Group Into the West say they'll be using this week's anniversary to highlight their campaign for the restoration of services in the region, both in terms of the Derry-Portadown line and also the Letterkenny to Derry line. Chairperson Steve Bradley says effectively, 60 years ago, rail died in the northwest.
It was the sort of the death blow, if you like, for rail in the western part of Ulster. It's obviously, you know, Derry, when you think about Derry to Portadown, you think probably that the line obviously comes out of Derry, goes through Tyrone, down to Portadown, but it also went through Donegal. It went through basically the very eastern part of Donegal, so St Johnson's, Carrigan's and Porthall. So closing that line meant that Tyrone and Donegal, two counties, lost the rail, and the entire northwest lost its direct rail connection down to Dublin.
One of the things that was very interesting over the point of this, when the All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review was under discussion last year, one of the interesting things that the then Minister Eamon Ryan in the Republic kept on saying was that he believed the Derry-Portadown line was a feasible one to return, and he could see that as being the centrepiece of a new rail service in the northwest. Would you concur?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen the figures. It scored the highest of any rail reopening on the island of Ireland. They estimate that 3 million passengers a year would use that new Derry-Portadown line. And that will be a combination of local traffic, people getting around, you know, Tyrone and places like that. It'll be people using that to get down to Dublin, obviously, but also as a quicker way to get round to Belfast. The current Derry-Belfast line, which itself carries about 3 million passengers a year, it's slow and it goes a very roundabout 90-mile route. So it'll be much quicker and much more direct for people to go from Derry on the northwest below Lough Neagh along Derry-Portadown route to get to Belfast. So you can see exactly where the 3 million passengers would come from. And that would make it the most popular and the most feasible of the rail reopenings on the island.
And that was Stephen Bradley of Into the West. Expect to hear much more about that campaign in the coming days as we approach that 60th anniversary on Friday.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoes for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with League of Ireland Soccer. The new season, of course, starts this coming Friday. Derry City begin their Premier Division campaign at Champion Shelburne, while Fun Harps are facing into a long trip south to take on Kerry FC. Former Harps skipper Declan Boyle feels building momentum at the start of the campaign would be crucial.
Yeah, there's good players coming through. It's going to be really interesting just that add of a lot of young players and then that experience as well and how that's going to mix and how, you know, how the season kicks off. You mentioned about the travelling distance. I always think that travelling isn't really an issue, but if you're in momentum and you're going well, travelling's not an issue. When things aren't going well, maybe when you've got injuries, travelling becomes an issue. So the squad itself, you know, keeping people fit, healthy and where they can go and play is going to be a key one because the squad is quite tight. And then for me, it's all about that momentum and starting very well and kick-starting with a couple of good positive results.
That's Declan Boyle speaking on Highlands League of Ireland preview special, which was aired yesterday on Sunday Sport. Declan was joined on the programme by Keith Cowan and Joe Boyle. And that piece is available now to listen back to on our website, highlandradio.com. Cross-channel football, there's more FA Cup fourth-round action this evening with the penultimate tie taking place in South Yorkshire. Premier League side Crystal Palace are away to League Two High Flyers Doncaster Rovers. Kick-off in that game is at 7:45. At the same time, St Mirren entertain Hearts in the fifth round of the Scottish Cup. In athletics, it was a wonderful weekend for Donegal's Mark English. The Fun Valley AC man took almost a second off his own national indoor 800-metre record as he set a new Irish record at the famous Mulrose Games in New York. He clocked 1 minute 45.15 seconds as he finished fourth in the race, which was won by American Josh Hoy. Here's Highlands Athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal.
You know, it was absolutely brilliant. It was one of the fastest 800 metres indoor ever ran, and a new American record for the guy up front. And he hung on for fourth place, and he really drove and dug deep over that last off that last bend. And it's all indications are that he's coming into great form. Well, all indications were that he was coming into good form, but he really nailed it last night. And he is delighted with himself, and he's now qualified for the European Championship. Such an automatic qualification. And delighted for him. You know, he has put in big training over the last few months, particularly abroad in South Africa, where he joined up with the Dutch for periods of training. That went well. All indications were good, and now he bore it out last night.
To Gaelic Games, as Donegal prepare for the visit of the All-Ireland champions Armagh next Sunday. It looks like Jim McGuinness's side will be without the services of Michael Langan for a number of games at least. St. Michael's man will be assessed this week after pulling his hamstring just seconds into Saturday's one in Killarney over Kerry. Assistant manager Colin McFadden says the response from the squad was good.
No, losing Michael after a minute of the game was obviously a big loss. But listen, last week the boys that came off the bench did well, and the boys came in the day again did well. And you know, that's, we're going to pick up injuries, and that's going to happen game to game. But you know, the response was good, like, and we didn't feel sorry for us after that, but it was good, like, I suppose. And the game in the second half, I think we went 5 or 6 up at one stage, and Kerry came back as you'd expect to a point, and the boys responded well a number of times there.
And there will be lots more on that Donegal win in Kerry with Brendan Devaney on the DL debate after the 7 o'clock news tonight. His guests are Donegal and Kerry legends Tony Boyle and Mike Frank Russell, plus Donegal's top officials Mark Dorian and Enda McFeely. We'll also be discussing the rules. In the Ladies National Football League, Donegal chalked up a win in their first home game yesterday as they overcame Monaghan in dramatic fashion. The visitors looked to be on course for a 1-point victory, but deep into additional time, Donegal captain Roisin Rogers scored a goal to give Donegal the points. Not surprisingly, she was upbeat afterwards.
Tough 60 minutes, you know, and like one kick of the ball just changed the game totally. So I think I was just lucky to be in the right place at the right time and got the goal in the end up.
To horse racing, long-time Cheltenham Festival favourite Sir Gino has been ruled out for the rest of the season after picking up a ligament infection. The Nicky Henderson-trained five-year-old was forced to miss an intended run at Newbury on Saturday with a small wound, but that injury has now become infected. It was as short as 8-11 for the Arkle Chase on day one of the festival next month. On the golf front, a place has been made available for the leading LIV golfer to contest this year's Open Championship. The highest-ranked player who's not already exempt in the top five of the Breakaway Series standings at the end of June will be invited to compete at Royal Portrush in County Antrim. It follows a similar announcement for the US Open last week. In snooker, Mark Allen is in action this evening at the Welsh Open. The Antrim native plays Stan Moody in the first round with their match due to get underway at 7 o'clock. The first of four frames will progress there. Finally, in cricket, it's been a good day for Ireland. They have beaten Zimbabwe in their test match in Bulawayo. The visitors made light work off this morning's action, taking 3 wickets in little over an hour to win by 63 runs. It's Ireland's third test victory in a row. That's your sport, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. A campaign to tackle domestic violence is being rolled out in Donegal, and events have been organised for Good Friday at Ungrinnan Theatre in Letterkenny in a bid to reduce the stigma and raise vital funds to enhance refuge facilities for people fleeing violence in the home in the county. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Niamh Kennedy, says it's vital that proper resources are in place to protect those who are vulnerable.
It's an issue that's very, very important, and indeed I would have had people contact me in the past in relation to a refuge centre that they needed help for themselves and their families. And this is not just any one particular sex, it's both male and female that have these issues. But I think it's to take the stigma out of it, is to create an awareness and to help with a bit of fundraising to ensure that people have a safe place to stay when it's needed. And I know that Letterkenny has a place there, and I've been in it before, it's excellent, but it could do with more of an extension as well, or definitely add-ons to the rest of the county, which it is required. And I think there's been a massive increase since COVID. There has been an awful lot of people who have been, you know, in a position whereby they found themselves very vulnerable. So, look, we want to try and take the stigma out of it. We want to try and increase in awareness. And coercive control is another issue that has come up in more recent times as well that we know of. And that all leads then to bullying and harassment. So I think it's very, very important that we start to talk about this, and so we have to let people be aware that we can't take any more of this, and we shouldn't take any more of this, and not to be afraid to speak up.
Because that stigma you spoke about, unfortunately, in so many places right across the Northwest and Northern Ireland especially, there's been a particular focus on it. That domestic abuse leads to death, and they always say that it is the person closest to you. So it's important that that refuge place is there for people.
Absolutely. And those people and the children, if there's children in the household, they're the ones that are suffering there as well. Get that place of refuge. Call it what it is and move and protect yourself and protect your family. And that's the way to do it.
Councillor Niamh Kennedy there speaking to Michaela Clark. A new report is calling for a public awareness campaign to improve attitudes towards schools in disadvantaged areas. Teachers interviewed as part of a task study suggest negative stereotypes are internalised by DESH students, which in turn impact their attitudes and behaviours towards learning. The think tank says the programme has helped college progression rates climb from 45% in 2012 to 60% in 2022. Head of Public Education at TASC, Dr. Sarah Singleton, says we need to highlight the positives of DESH schools to tackle these misconceptions.
I think one thing that came out of the recommendations is for there to be kind of more positive coverage of DESH schools, both coming from the Department of Education and the TUI through their teachers of kind of the achievements, because there definitely are really significant achievements as well, as something that could really kind of support teachers and also kind of help with any kind of recruitment challenges schools have. Students maybe having low expectations of themselves because they're in a DESH school. Parents maybe not wanting to send their students to a DESH school. And also the community having kind of maybe sometimes a lower standing in the community, maybe particularly when the DESH school is new in that community and it's one of maybe only of a few schools.
And finally, in international news, Hamas's armed wing says it will delay the next Israeli hostage release planned for Saturday until further notice. It claims obligations on returning displaced civilians and the provision of aid to Gaza have been broken. Israel, who have been freeing Palestinian prisoners in return, have accused Hamas of violating the ceasefire deal. Sky's Middle Eastern correspondent Alistair Bunkall says comments from the US president are likely to have influenced this Hamas decision.
What Donald Trump has been saying, that Palestinians would not be allowed to return to Gaza, and saying that America would buy Gaza, I think that is also playing into this statement from Hamas. They're clearly angry at that.
Cold tonight with frost setting in where sky is clear. A lot of dry weather with patchy outbreaks of rain and drizzle occurring. The odd hail or sleet shower possible in lowest temperatures of -1 to +3 degrees Celsius in a mostly light northeasterly breeze. Some brighter sunny spells at first tomorrow with any frost or ice clearing. Cloud will increase with patchy falls of rain and drizzle across eastern areas, moving westwards through the day. Donegal County Council just mentioned telling us that they'll be gritting all roads on the winter programme from 7 o'clock this evening and again from 6 tomorrow morning. Tomorrow Tuesday will be cold with top temperatures of 5 to 6 degrees Celsius in a light to moderate easterly breeze. Looking at the closing headlines on this Monday evening, the Stormont Assembly has heard a call for a parallel and public Oma bombing inquiry in the Republic, which questions those believed to have been involved in planning and executing the 1998 attack. 7,699 people were signing on the live register in Donegal in January. That's down 16% from January of last year. And Derry City and Strabane District Council have set a budget for the coming financial year with a district rates increase of just under 5%. Back with news headlines again at 6. In the interim, check all of today's news on our website, highlandradio.com. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 10th of February. The death has taken place of Carol Laird, Churchtown, Carrigans, St Johnson. Her remains will repose at her home tomorrow from 12 noon to 10 p.m. Today, Monday, is private for family only, please. Funeral from her home on Wednesday at 12 noon for 1 o'clock funeral service in St Eunan's Cathedral, Raphoe, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Letterkenny University Hospital, ICU, care of Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has taken place of Martin Connolly, 25 Castlegrange Park, Strabane, reposing at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. The death has taken place in Australia of Sadie Borthwick, Nae McDade, John Street, Derry. Mass for the happy repose of her soul will be held in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. The death has taken place of Noreen Houston, Nae Curran, Shrohan Falcara. Her remains are reposing at her home until Rosary tonight at 9. Funeral Mass will take place in Christ the King Church, Gortathorpe, tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. House private pleas to family only before the funeral tomorrow. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Matthew Matt Cutliffe, the Mountain House, Buncrana. Matt's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Matt's funeral can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Jimmy Doherty, Mean Tully Nagarn, Killy Beggs. Remains reposing at his residence. Removal on Wednesday morning at 10:30 to St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killy Beggs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, which will be streamed on mcn.live. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu to the Irish Heart Foundation. The death has taken place of Joe Patterson, 3 Bridge Street, Remelton. Reposing at his home until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time please on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Stuart Hamilton, Carnashanna, Burnfoot. Stuart's remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 2:45 to Fawn Presbyterian Church for funeral service at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in St Mary's Church of Ireland Graveyard, Fawn. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Luke's Hospital, Dublin, care of any family member or Sean Murphy, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Margaret Walsh, Nae Leeper, 4 Chapel Street, Stranorra. Remains reposing at McCool's Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet, from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorra, at 11. Interment in Stranorra Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The house is private. And the death has occurred of Seamus James Anthony Tully, Ardlass, Fintra Road, Killy Beggs. Reposing at his home until 6 o'clock this evening, with removal tomorrow morning to St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killy Beggs, for funeral mass at 12 noon. The mass will be streamed on mcn.live. Private burial, strictly family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Irish Heart Foundation or the RNLI. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.